John chapter 8, verse 36. So we continue to go verse by verse through John. John chapter 8, verse 36. If you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 8, verse 36. The Bible says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you to bless the reading of it. Bless the preaching of it. Give us, Lord, understanding today. That we may hear, we may grasp, that we may proclaim to others your word. Thank you, O God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I know we've been in verse 36 for quite some time now. And Lord willing, next week we'll start easing into verse 37 and on out to the end of the chapter. But we're looking this morning that we are freed. The Bible says here in verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." We are freed to serve Christ. Right. And that is our title this morning, Freed to Serve Christ. Let's start with the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. The Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." This is when Christ stood up in the synagogue, and he read these scriptures here, and he said, "Today these scriptures are fulfilled in your ears." So we know that Christ came to set the captives free. We've looked at some of these things in the past few months as we continue to go verse by verse through the gospel according to John. Understand that setting the captives free, this brings honor and glory to God the Father. Christ always did those things which brings honor and glory to the Father. In verse 36 of John 8, we see that all whom Jesus makes free are free indeed. We are truly set free because Christ has made us free. Please understand that only Jesus Christ can set someone free. He must make us free. And here's why. Turn to John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3, look in verse 19. John chapter 3, verse 19. The Bible says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved," what? "Darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Reproved here means discovered or brought to light. Why is it that certain people don't want to go nowhere where the Word of God is being preached? Because their deeds will be brought to light. Why is it that man does not want to come to God? Because his deeds will be brought to light. Man in his natural, depraved, lost condition, listen, does not want the Savior. Right. Because he loves the darkness. Right. He loves his lost state. I know with our families we can get aggravated and say, why can't they just see? Why can't they just understand? Because they're lost, they are dead, the Bible says, in trespasses and sins. And until God quickens them, makes them alive, they will not see. They will not seek after God until God first draws them and quickens them. Jesus must draw us. And he is the one that must make us free. But when he makes us free, as the Bible says in verse 36 in John 8, we are free indeed. We must, now I'm stressing this word "made" here. We must be made free because we cannot come of our own power or of our own will. Look at John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So Jesus Christ must deliver us. He gives us the faith to trust him. We're not born again by our own will, by our own flesh, or the will of man, but of God. He is the one that we trust for salvation, because he is the only one that can save. John 6:37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now, to what purpose are we set free? I ask this question in a sense is, are we set free to go do whatever we want to do? Are we like the antinomians who believe that we're saved by grace, so therefore we can live like hell? Can I go do all that I want to do to please my flesh? No, that's not what we're talking about here. We are free, we are set free to serve Jesus Christ. We have been given a freedom. But with this freedom, there is a great responsibility that has been given to us also. We hear a lot of talk about free will, don't we? It is truly pushed, especially here in our area. But do we know the true meaning of the words free will? Let me give you a definition. The word free, this is what it means: unconstrained, unrestrained, not under compulsion or control. Free. In other words, nothing influences you, and nothing causes you to make a decision, because you're free from all these things. The word will. This is that faculty of the mind by which we determine either to do or forbear an action. The faculty which is exercised in deciding among two or more objects, which we shall embrace or pursue. The will is directed or influenced by the judgment. Hang with me. The understanding or reason compares different objects, which operate as motives. The judgment determines which is preferable, and the will decides which to pursue. In other words, we reason with respect to the value or importance of things. We then judge which is to be preferred, and we will to take the most valuable. These are but different operations of the mind, soul, or intellectual part of man. These definitions came from the Webster's Dictionary, 1828 edition. I did not make them up. Our will, listen, is us making a decision. And according to this definition, we take in information around us. It is processed in our minds. Then we make a decision off of those things that's around us, or off of those things that we put into our minds, right? And I go back and look at the definition for the word free. Now let's try to put these together. The word free is unconstrained, unrestrained, not under compulsion or control. So when we put these two words together, free will, this means that you can make a decision without any type of influence. Now, I want to ask you this. Is that possible for you and I? It's not. Every decision we make is influenced by something other than us. Understand this does not mean that we don't have a will. We just looked at the definition for the word will, and it means that we will to do things. We make decisions, and this is the will that we make. This is the decision that we make to do something. We have a will. It's just not free. We make decisions based on what influences us. And let me say this, every decision that we make is influenced by something. Now, look at John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Let's go back there. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil, this word doeth here is in the present tense, it says continually, doeth evil, hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. This person does not want to know. Now take and line this up with Romans chapter 3. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Look in verse 9. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. Says, what then? Are we better than they? No, and no wise, for we have before proved that both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. Therefore, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Lost man's deeds are evil. His desires are evil. His actions are evil because he is lost. Of course, we want to say, oh, but he does so many great things, great charitable things. I want to remind you in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, they also did great things in the eyes of man. They cast out demons. They preached the word of God. They helped the poor, helped the sick. They done all these things that were great in the eyes of man. Yet Jesus Christ calls these things iniquity. Because they did these things influenced by something else other than Jesus Christ, because they were lost. Right. It doesn't matter how many and to what magnitude these great deeds look in our eyes. If they are not done as a result of being influenced by the Lord, they are iniquity. When it comes to salvation, people want to use the word whosoever. And they want to connect whosoever with man's free will, or their definition of man's free will. But mark this down, that whosoever has nothing to do with free will whatsoever. Right. It doesn't. Whosoever is speaking of Jew or who? That's all it's speaking of. Right. That's nationality. It's got nothing to do with free will. In man's lost state. Now, here's where we're going with this. Now, remember, we are set free. We are freed to serve Jesus Christ. Okay? Keep this in mind. In man's lost state, his will is enmity with God. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Verse 5. And I think after we look at these verses here, I think you'll understand a little better what we're talking about. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Do you see a distinction here? A division. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Again, a distinction. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But look at verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh. Who he's speaking to here? The church. But in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, and if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, Jew or Gentile, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. This word enmity is hostility, a reason for opposition, enmity, hatred. This is the state that we are in before Christ saves us and frees us. The state we're in is that we, listen folks, we have a mind that is enmity. It's naturally enmity. It's naturally hatred towards God and the things of God. This does not necessarily mean that we walk around saying, God, I hate you. God, I hate you. That's not what that's saying there, though some do that. But our lifestyle proclaims that there is enmity between us and God. By the grace of God, we're saved. And as we saw the distinctions in Romans chapter 8 here, the differences here, we can say, now what? We have been freed from the bondage of sin, the bondage of self, and the bondage of Satan. The Holy Spirit now lives inside of us. We were at one time making all of our, listen, every decision we ever made at one time was influenced by sin, self, or Satan. Those three things. And nothing else. Every decision was made as a lost person influenced by sin, self, or Satan. But now that you're saved, the Holy Spirit now lives inside of us. We were at one time making all of our decisions by these influences of sin, self, and Satan. Now, sin, self, and Satan, listen, they have not disappeared, but they have been defeated by Jesus Christ. We have been set free by Jesus Christ to serve Jesus Christ. Now, stay with me. Now that we are saved, we have new influences in our life. Again, the Holy Ghost now lives inside of us, and He always points us to Jesus Christ. He never points us to self. He never points us into walking in the flesh. So instead of walking in the flesh, we can now walk in the Spirit. Notice how I said that. We can now walk in the Spirit. Romans 8:4 says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 1 of Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He's talking to saved people here now. Look at verse Galatians 5:16-17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Watch this, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Walk signifies continuous action, nonstop. This means day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second, etc., etc. Listen, folks, this is what it means. You ready? You and I, as a saved person, we have a decision to make every day, every moment of every day. We have a decision to make. Now, don't forget, as a lost person, you was governed by sin, self, and Satan. And that is it. That's why your actions were the way they were. But now that you are saved, the Holy Spirit now lives inside of you. You're influenced by Him. You're influenced by the Word of God and other people, and we'll look at that in a second. So these influences, according to the definition of the word will, we take these in. And we make a decision based off of these influences. So do you see here where we have a decision to make? The Word of God influences us after we are saved. Why? Because now that we're saved, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And we can now understand what the Word of God says. We have been given, the Bible says, unction. We have been given understanding of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. The Bible says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Watch verse 14. "But the natural man." This is the lost man. "Receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." Why? "For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Understand that after you and I are saved, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God influences our decisions. A radical transformation takes place in your life when you're saved. You may not be able to explain it, but the fact of the matter is, it happened. Not of works or righteousness which you have done, but according to His mercy, He saved you. So now you have a war going on inside of you. Paul speaks of this in Romans chapter 7. When he says, basically, those things I don't want to do, I do. And those things I do want to do, I don't do. Why? Because there's a war of influence in his life. So therefore, we have a decision to make. We are freed to serve Christ. But folks, we've got to make this decision to serve Christ. Some people want to sit down and pull the card out that says sovereignty of God. And folks, I tell you, I believe in the sovereignty of God just like probably more than most. Amen? But we still have to make a decision to follow the Lord, to obey God, to be obedient to the Word of God. And we'll get there in just a second. So we have the influence of the Holy Spirit now that we're saved. We have the influence of the Word of God now that we're saved. Turn to Hebrews, please, 10. And we also have the influence of people, of saved people, now that we're saved. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 23. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider, that word consider means respect or regard, one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Others influence us. Would you agree? We're to provoke one another unto love and to good works. When you see someone else doing something for Christ and you're saved, that should provoke you to do more for Christ. This also means that we influence others. If others influence us, we influence others, whether for good or for evil. And as a saved person, we should be influencing others for good, to regard others and to encourage each other unto love and to good works. We are set free to serve Jesus Christ. And this is a decision that we must make. Folks, please understand here. The old man is still alive. Sin is still abounding. And Satan is still a liar. Some may have the question, then why do I struggle so much? Because the old man is still alive. Sin is still abounding, and Satan is still a liar. That's why we struggle. But now we have the influences from the Lord and from sin, self, and Satan. They're still there. We make a decision based off of what we allow to influence us. Now, folks, I'm telling you, listen, we have a decision to make here. Either we can follow the Lord or not follow the Lord. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, please. Verses 3 through 5. Let me clarify this. The Bible says we have a decision to make. Over and over again, we see this. 2 Corinthians 10, look in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, how are we walking today? He says we here. Who's he speaking to? The church at Corinth. Right. Though we walk in the flesh, are we not robed in this flesh? Yes, we are. Right. We do not war after the flesh. In other words, we do not fight this warfare after the manner of the flesh. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because it's a spiritual warfare. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through who? God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Watch verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This word imaginations means reasonings. Do you ever reason why you ought not follow the Word of God? Do you ever try to convince yourself of why you don't need to pray? Of why you don't need to read your Bible? Do you ever find yourself trying to convince, reasoning why you ought not go to church? The Bible says we ought to take these reasonings, take every thought that comes in our minds, to take it captive. In other words, before it goes to the heart, before it gets away from us, before that thought influences us to do something, take it captive. Right. Where is this thought coming from? Is this thought from the Lord? If it is, that thought will line up with the Word of God. Because He will never influence us to go against His Word. Or is this thought from self? Is this thought from Satan? Or is this thought simply from sin that dwells in me? There is much that influences us against the Lord. Are y'all ever bombarded with thoughts during preaching? During the song service? Going down the road? How about at home in the bed? How about at home in the bathroom? Et cetera, et cetera. Go on and on there, amen? We are constantly bombarded by thoughts. What are these thoughts? These thoughts are influencing you and I. We should take all of them captive. Have you ever had a thought to do something, then a different thought come to mind of why you shouldn't do something? Amen. I could give many personal examples. Many. How many of y'all ever get the road rage? Raise your hand. I think everybody's going to raise a hand in here. I am a bivocational pastor, therefore I have to work. Two jobs, pastoring and working outside of the church. Pastoring is not a laid-back job, it's also work. But I have to drive an 18-wheeler at times. And I promise you, I can get the road rage if I ain't careful. Now, think about it for a second. I'm going down the road and someone pulls out in front of me and slams on the brakes and turns left. I'm loaded. I'm sorry, the truck is loaded. I mean, clarify that because you know how some truck drivers are. That's got to be very important. First thought comes in my mind, blow the horn, get out, open up their door, and let them have it. Now, where's that thought from? The natural man. But at the same time, a second thought comes into my mind. Just stop. You know they're going to do it anyway. This ain't the first time. Happens all the time. So, Lord, help me shine for you with the way I respond to this person that just put out in front of me. That's not very smart. And obviously, they have no idea that an 18-wheeler cannot stop on a dime. But do you see what I'm saying here? Now, these two thoughts in my mind, whichever one I allow to influence me is how I'm going to react. Amen? Let's get a little more personal here. Husband and wife. Husband comes home from hard day's work, walks in the house, supper ain't cooked, kids are running around everywhere. He's hungry. First thought comes to mind is to get up on his high horse and tell him all how it is. Line all of them out on the couch, including the wife, and wear them all out with the belt. Y'all smiling. No, I have never whipped my wife. She's whipped me a time or two. Hey, that's a thought, ain't it? But then there's another thought that comes up that says, okay, why is the house in the shape it's in when I get home? What's happened today? What's going on? How can I be of help? Now, whichever I allow to influence me is how I will react. Do you ever want to just blow up and blow out and roll people over? Amen. And then there's another thought that says don't do that because you're going to ruin your testimony? Right. Now, listen to me. These are influences in our lives. Would you agree? How often are these there? Every day. Every day. You get a phone call, somebody says something, what do you want to do? You want to get on them dudes on that phone. Now, what just influenced you to do that? Flesh. We give Satan too much credit. I'm going to tell you that. Flesh. Why? Because it affected our pride. Yet the Holy Spirit speaks of meekness. What is meekness? It is power under control. Power under control. These influences in our lives. Now, we have to ask ourselves, where does thought come from? Is this thought going to lead me closer to the Lord or further away? Is this thought going to cause others to see Christ in me or see me in me or Satan in me? If I act upon this thought, what will be the outcome? If I act upon this thought, will I be pleasing Jesus Christ? Or will I be pleasing myself? Now remember, the influences that are coming at us. Sin, self, Satan. These three are against Christ and the things that concern Christ. And then we have the influences of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and those who are walking in the Spirit. And these three will always direct us in the ways of Christ. Have you ever noticed someone who's not wanting to do right or not doing right, don't want to be around those who are doing right? They don't want to be in the Word of God. They don't want to be around preaching. They'd rather be around those who are just like them. So they can all be in misery together. You been there? Amen. We have been set free to serve Jesus Christ. And I want to say again, this is a decision that we've got to make. Not to be set free. Christ does that. But our decision is to serve Christ. 1 John 5:21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 24. Here is a passage of Scripture that has absolutely nothing to do with salvation. I want to clarify that. People use it all the time during invitations and to try to get lost people to do right. Folks, you can't get a lost person to do right. But this appeal here from Joshua is to the saved. This is to those who fear the Lord. Those who are His. Joshua 24:14. The Bible says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, watch what he says here, choose you this day whom you will serve. Now remember, the influences in our choices. Is a lost person going to choose to serve the Lord? No, he's not. No, she's not. Watch what he says here. Choose you this day, whom you serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, and who's laying you to dwell. In other words, listen, there's all kinds of influences around you. But as for me and my house, we will serve who? The Lord. We will not allow those other things to influence us. We will serve the Lord. We will fear the Lord. We will know His Word. We will meditate upon it day and night. It will be the abundance of our heart, therefore to be the abundance of our thoughts. And we will crucify our flesh. Is this a battle? These decisions? I think we know it is. Simply from living life, we know it's a battle. And again, I want to encourage you to read Romans chapter 7 because Paul speaks of this battle there. And Paul, who we would consider a great man of God, had the same battle we have. Same battle. Do y'all hate your sin? Do you hate these thoughts that you have? Do you hate how you act and react sometimes? Listen, we don't always act and react the right way. Would you agree that when we act or react the wrong way, there's regrets there? Things you're not proud of. And then you got to go make things right. Whether it's with the wife or the husband, with the boss or anybody. Mainly with God. Understand that we are not spiritual robots. Wouldn't that be great to be a spiritual robot? Walk across there. God says stop, you stop. God says turn, you turn. God says go, you go. God says say this, you say this. And you never mess up. Wouldn't that be great? Listen, that would be wonderful for me. Amen. Less headache, less stress, no regrets. But we're not spiritual robots. We're still robed in this flesh. And this flesh is enmity towards God. This flesh hates God. So we've got to ask ourselves, am I pleasing the flesh or am I pleasing God? Because we have been interrupted by Jesus Christ, we now have the influences of Jesus Christ. He transforms our lives, and therefore our decisions are also transformed. Listen, the lifestyle that we live is a direct result of the decisions that we make, which is a result of what influences us. A saved person will bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. And this will be magnified by that person's decisions. Will we always make the right decision? No, we won't. But listen, there will be a consistency there of doing right and making right decisions. Not to be saved, but because we have been saved. We have been set free to serve Christ. Let me ask you this. How are we doing? How are our decisions in this area? Lord willing, tonight we'll look at some of those who are overtaken in a fault. Some of those who have been overtaken in sin. Listen, folks, the influences and our decisions, very important. Make sure that you and I are doing as the Word of God would have us do. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for who you are, God. Father, we're so thankful for your Word. And Lord, that you do influence us. We ask you for grace this morning that we may have wisdom and understanding to make the right choice that you have us do. We understand that the right choice that you have us do may not always benefit us. It may not always be the easy road. But it's the right choice to make. Help us, oh God. We desperately need you. Help us, Lord, give us grace to crucify our flesh. The wisdom to know when it's the devil speaking to us, influencing us. For he is a deceiver. He does twist Scripture, though he uses Scripture. May we know what your word says. Lord, that our lives may bring you honor and glory. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, O God, for setting us free, that we may serve you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.